The Attorney General appears to be waging a media campaign on behalf of President Trump, the very subject of the investigation at the heart of the Mueller report. Rather than letting the facts of the report speak for themselves, the Attorney General has taken unprecedented steps to spin Mueller's nearly two-year investigation. One, he summarized the report and cherry-picked findings in his March 24th letter to Congress. Two, he withheld summaries written by the special counsel that were intended for public consumption.
That is Jerry Nadler.
Three, he has briefed Democrat. The White House on the report before providing Congress a copy.
Who is posturing in front of the news cameras, who did this last night, ahead of the release of the Mueller report today. He and his fellow Democrats are unhappy. Bless their hearts. God love them. They are displeased with the fact that the Attorney General, who serves at the pleasure of the President of the United States, has decided to not give them the Mueller report until after he holds this morning's press conference, which comes up actually, good morning. Hi. Welcome to Facebook Live and the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. We record this at 8 a.m. Central, 9 o'clock Eastern, each weekday morning. And coming up at the bottom of this hour at 9:30, 8:30 Central, we're supposed to have a news conference with Attorney General Barr talking about the Mueller report release, which, by the way, the version is redacted. And if you don't know what redaction is, it's when they take a black marker and cover. They just mark over certain sections of printed materials so that they can't be read. That's redaction. A redacted version of the report will be released today. It will be given to Congress sometimes between 11 and 12. The president has already seen it. That is legal. That is the way the law is written. He has to see it because he has say over whose names can be revealed. He has say over the content of the report. This is how our system works. Had this exact same thing been happening to, oh, let's say, Barack Hussein Obama, then they would be sitting quietly, enjoying adult beverages together and not worried about anything, because they would know this is how it's supposed to work. But because they are not in control, and because they have been waging a constant war against the duly elected president of the United States since Hillary Rodham Clinton was defeated, then they've got to pitch a fit. And that's exactly what they're doing. So, God love them, they're pitching a fit. And we'll look into more of that. I'll play the entire statement for you. I just got about a third of the way into it, but I'll play the entire statement for you coming up in just a little bit. It won't be long now. And we'll be keeping our eyes open. I'll be keeping my eyes open. I have the news channels up in my news view. And as soon as the news conference starts, we may join it to see what Attorney General Barr has to say. It's bound to be interesting. There is a lot of speculation, a lot of speculation. And please make no mistake, that's exactly what it is. It's speculation. It is nothing more. It is nothing less. There's a lot of speculation going on the with the talking heads on the news. They don't know what's happening. They haven't seen the report. They don't know. They do not know. All they're doing is speculating. That's what they do. They're professional speculators. And so you have to wait until this report on this 22-month-long probe, which indicted 37 people, resulted in 7 guilty pleas, 5 people sentenced to prison, 5 Trump associates convicted or pled guilty. It featured 19 lawyers. There were 40 FBI agents involved. And it was turned over to Attorney General Barr on the 22nd of March, and he sent his conclusions on March 24th. This whole thing, they're speculating about all of it because they don't know what's in it. All they know is what the summary said that was released a couple of weeks ago. That's all they know. But what you need to know, because they're not telling you on the news, for the most part, especially, well, I think the only place, the only news outlet that has actually, I've actually seen really say this is Fox News. But Robert Mueller was a participant in the redaction process. So Robert Mueller, this person who they hung their hopes on for 2 years, this person they believed was going to be their hero, the knight that would slay the Trump dragon, he helped in the redaction process. And they are now turning on him. It's a very interesting thing to watch. You need to be aware of that, though, that they are turning on Robert Mueller. And they will turn on anyone who they don't perceive to be helping them. So Jerry Nadler stepped before the cameras and postured last night. And the Democrats are just not happy. They're not getting their way. And they're trying to get out ahead of what's happening because they don't know. They don't know what's in this report. They don't know what it says. They want access to it so that they can cherry pick items from it and get in front of the cameras and talk about the evil things that were disclosed by this report and the reasons, these new reasons, more evidence that we should impeach this president. That's what they want. And so since they're not getting it until after the attorney general speaks to the press, they're not happy because they wanted to have it in hand so they could get out in front of the press and tell you what they want you to think. And since the attorney general is going to speak to the press before they do, they won't get that opportunity. And it takes power out of their hands, and they're unhappy about it. Very, very unhappy. Very unhappy. Well, let's go ahead and let's play that entire thing. I played you the beginning of it at the top. Let's go back and play the whole thing that Jerry Nadler had to say. So you can hear his posturing before the news media, him getting out in front of this story to position the Democrats in such a way that they might have some tiny amount of control over the situation. And we'll see if maybe he succeeded or maybe not.
The Attorney General appears to be waging a media campaign on behalf of President Trump, the very subject of the investigation at the heart of the Mueller report. Rather than letting the facts of the report speak for themselves, the Attorney General has taken unprecedented steps to spin Mueller's nearly two-year investigation.
All right, let's translate for a moment. Pardon me. I grabbed a snack bar.
Very subject of the investigation at the heart of the Mueller report. Rather than letting the facts of the report speak for themselves.
In other words, rather than letting us tell you what it means.
The Attorney General has taken unprecedented steps to spin Mueller's nearly two-year investigation.
The Attorney General, I'm translating, is going to get in front of the news cameras himself and tell you what what he can legally, under the laws of the United States of America, he's going to tell you legally what he can about this report, rather than allow the Democrats to spin the report and tell you new evil things about our president.
One, he summarized the report and cherry-picked findings in his March 24th letter to Congress,
which was completely and totally appropriate. This is how things are done.
Two, he withheld summaries written by the special counsel that were intended for public consumption. Three, he has briefed the White House on the report before providing Congress a copy, which...
And by the way, that is completely legal. And that is how our system is designed. That's how this is supposed to work.
Because help them prepare a rebuttal response for the president.
Of course, this is the spin he wants you to hear. The reason he is saying, the reason that this was done, was so the president could put a spin on it and develop a rebuttal to nasty, horrible things in the report. You see, Jerry Nadler and his fellow lying Democrats want you to believe that there is a cover-up happening now. That's what they want you to believe.
And now, the evening before the report's scheduled release, the Department of Justice has informed the committee that it will receive a copy between 11 a.m. and noon, well after the Attorney General's 9:30 a.m. press conference.
And this just will not do, because the Democrats want their hands on this report before anyone else, so they can get ahead of the news, they can get ahead of you, and they can get ahead of the president, and they can interpret it for you.
This is wrong.
It's not wrong. It's not. It's how it's done.
It is contrary to the Attorney General's own words to the committee. Quote, I do not believe it would be in the public's interest for me to attempt to summarize the full report or to release it in serial or piecemeal fashion.
He's not doing that. At least you don't know that that's what he's doing, but whatever.
Close quote. It now appears the Attorney General intends to once again put his own spin on the investigative work completed by the special counsel and his team.
Remember, Robert Mueller helped in the redaction process and helped in the processing of the report. Remember, this is not Attorney General Barr's, quote, spin, end quote. All of the spinning is happening from the Democrats.
The fact that the Attorney General is not releasing even the redacted report to Congress until after his press conference will again result in the report being presented through his own words rather than through the words of Special Counsel Mueller.
Once again, Robert Mueller helped in the redaction process. He was part of the process. Robert Mueller helped develop the version of the report which will be released today. They don't want you to know this. They want to demonize William Barr. They want to make him the enemy. So they're removing Mueller from the process. And it's important that you know that Mueller was part of this process. He was involved. And once again, let me back up again for that little segment one more time.
Report to Congress until after his press conference will again result in the report being presented through his own words rather than through the words of Special Counsel Mueller.
That is a, by the way, bald-faced lie, because the report will be presented to Congress and to the people as it is, a redacted report with names redacted, sections redacted, as required by the laws of our nation. What the Democrats are doing is trying to convince people that there is a conspiracy afoot and that William Barr and Donald Trump are trying to hide something from you.
The central concern here is that the Attorney General Barr is not allowing the facts of the Mueller report to speak for themselves, but is trying to bake in the narrative about the report to the benefit of the White House.
You see what I said? That's exactly what I'm saying. These people are not only just implying, they're saying that Attorney General Barr is creating a fiction on behalf of the White House, that he's twisting and turning the meaning of the report on behalf of the White House. They are depending on the ignorance of the useful idiots, not my term, just look it up. They're depending on the ignorance of the useful idiots in our country to believe every word they're saying here and to not understand how our system works.
And of course, he's doing this just before the holiday weekend, so it's extraordinarily difficult for anybody to react.
And of course, Jerry Nadler would know about this, because that's when the Democrats, for the past 8 years, have released controversial information on late on a Friday or right before a holiday weekend, because it's tough to dig in to stories like that on weekends and holidays, and less people are paying attention in the general public at those times.
This is wrong. It is not the proper role of the Attorney General.
Actually, it absolutely is the proper role of the Attorney General. He can do this if the president sees fit, because the Attorney General serves at the will, at the pleasure of the President of the United States. Jerry Nadler and the Democrats don't want you to believe them. They want you to believe that they have power over this process. They want you to believe that they should be answered to, that our Attorney General should bow to them. And he's not going to do it. And that's a good thing. More to come. And we're keeping an eye on the news, even as we speak. We'll see how it all spells out as the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to The Daily Perspective, a daily podcast produced, directed, composed by little old me, Mark Congleton. Oh, and hosted by me as well. Can't forget that. I'm the guy driving the big silly bus. And today proposes to be an interesting day. And I use the word interesting because when you're an observer of what's happening in our political spectrum, then when these guys are posturing, like the Democrats, Jerry Nadler and the rest of the Democrats last night postured before the news cameras, if you're an observer, you can step away and just observe and then comment on what you're observing. And I try not to speculate. I try to base the things I say off of the experience I've had looking at this stuff. And this is no different than you. You can do the same thing. You can pay attention to what's happening, and you can tell, like I've said before, if you're honest with yourself and you're honest about your own life, you can be honest with pretty much everything. And if you honestly watch what these people like Jerry Nadler and the Democrats are doing, and you've been observing the way things work, you can honestly say they're lying. They're posturing. They are trying to make a case before the American people that somehow the Attorney General is doing something which is wrong. And they know that since American school kids are not taught how our government works the way they used to be, that generally speaking, younger people will accept anything they tell them. Well, they're elected to office. They're good people. They wouldn't lie to us, would they? Yes, they would. They would, at the drop of a hat, or less, they would lie to us. If it suits their purposes, if it pushes forward their agenda, you bet they would lie to us. We've seen them lie again and again and again. And Jerry Nadler, last night, was perpetrating a lie to the American people. And the Democrats are doing that daily. They've been doing that for a couple of years. You stop and think about the things that they have said for the last couple of years. The people who have gone on to the talking head shows on Sunday morning on the major networks and on the news channels and talked about the conclusive evidence of collusion, the conclusive evidence of obstruction. They have personally seen with their own eyes the cases that they know of. And yet none of them have stepped forward with any of that information, even during this investigation. An investigation was going on that they insisted happen. And yet none of them brought this conclusive evidence forward, which would have nailed the coffin lid shut on Donald Trump. None of them did. Why? Because they were lying. They lied for 22 months. They postured before the TV cameras, they postured wherever they could get in front of somebody with a microphone, and they lied. Because they know that if you tell a lie for long enough, that it just becomes accepted. People have heard it so much. And because people tend to be less than diligent in seeking answers and digging into the truth about matters, they know that people will just accept what they say, including the really big lies. And they prefer really big, outrageous lies because Wow, you wouldn't say something like that if it weren't true, would you? Of course you would. If you're a leftist politician, if you're a professional politician, and by the way, Washington, D.C. is populated with professional politicians. If you're a professional politician, that's what you do. God love you. Hey, let's step away from this for just a couple of minutes. I want to talk about something else that happened here. This happened last night in New York. A man who may or may not have been inspired by the destructive fire that desecrated Notre Dame earlier this week has been arrested after trying to enter St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan carrying two cans of gasoline. This happened last night. According to ABC News, the 37-year-old man from New Jersey allegedly parked his vehicle in front of Saks Fifth Avenue, where he carried two gas cans and lighter fluid into the cathedral. ABC reports the church ushers stopped the man and nearby officers with the NYPD Critical Response Command took him into custody. Nobody was injured. The man is, for the moment, being considered an emotionally disturbed person. No criminal charges have been brought against the man, who will now be taken in for a psychiatric evaluation. According to NBC News, New York Police Department Deputy Commissioner John Miller told reporters that gasoline had spilled on the floor of the cathedral when security confronted the 37-year-old man, leading him to make a wild claim that he had run out of gas. Miller says, as he enters the cathedral, he's confronted by a cathedral security officer who asked him where he's going, informs him he can't proceed into the cathedral carrying these things. At that point, some gasoline apparently had spilled out on the floor. His basic story was that he was cutting through the cathedral to get to Madison Avenue, that his car had run out of gas. We took a look at the vehicle. It was not out of gas, and at that point, he was taken into custody and brought to the Midtown North Station House. And Miller says police will investigate further before any conclusive determinations could be made. He says it's hard to say exactly what his intentions were. I think his intentions were to burn the place down. Hello. We're looking into his background, obviously, and talking to a couple of other agencies. So he suspects this guy is on the radar already, that he's a previous troublemaker. He's a problem child. Miller added that the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is involved because we don't know exactly what his mindset was, what his motive was, but we do know that carrying two cans of gasoline and the equipment to light that to a public area and a place like St. Patrick's Cathedral is something that presents a danger to the public, and that's why he's in custody. Wow. So, let's see, just a little bit of history. The Midtown Cathedral is an icon. It was built in 1878, largely by Irish immigrants. It's been hailed as one of the finest churches on American soil, one of New York City's architectural gems. The NYPD maintains a regular presence there, specifically because the church has a history of being targeted by terrorists. In 1914, a bomb exploded on the northwest corner of the cathedral. Police at the time suspected that the communist group, Industrial Workers of the World, had carried out the act of violence, though no arrests were made that day. In 1915, Italian anarchists Frank Abbarno and Carmine Carbone were arrested for trying to detonate the bomb, a bomb inside the cathedral. We see copycat things happen almost anytime something large happens, some big event happens, like Notre Dame Cathedral burning. We'll see some copycat. We'll try to do something like that somewhere else. We have seen a lot of this stuff happening in Europe. I mean, there was a map published, I've seen it in the last couple of days, where Christian churches all over Europe have been targeted. They've been vandalized, they've been burned, they've been, you know, all kinds of things have done to them. So there are various reasons that this guy could have done this. I mean, he could have been operating under direction of Muslim terrorists. He could have been a nut. You just never know. But we've had a copycat. Somebody's tried to burn a cathedral, a church down here. And you can look for more activity of the same. Probably won't be reported widely, but you'll probably see more churches, especially iconic churches, where people are trying to burn them down. Because copycats pop up when this kind of thing happens. Also, there are crazy people who make it their life mission to destroy things with which they disagree. And one of my first reactions to this story was, I bet we'll find out. This is speculation, and I don't like doing speculation. This is just, you know, this is just out there. But I think we'll find out he is either a Muslim or he's a delusional Democrat who is angry about something. Those tend to be the personality types which do something like this. And that's what I think every time I see a Democrat politician talking about gun control of any kind at any level. My first thought is, well, why don't you control your people? Why don't you do a campaign of control and do some psychological evaluation of the people who vote for you? Because it seems like almost all of the cases of gun violence have been caused by people who are Democrats or are in Democrat families. At least it seems that way to me. But who am I? Still keeping an eye on the news. The Mueller report is to be released. There is going to be a news conference coming up. It's scheduled for just a few minutes from now as we record this live program. It's supposed to happen in about 2 minutes. And you know how these things go. It may be several minutes before we actually see somebody step to the microphone. But as soon as somebody steps to the microphone, we'll pull up audio and see what they have to say, and we'll follow along. We'll even bump the brakes out so that we don't have to deal with them. So maybe after this break, we'll have Attorney General Barr talking to us about the Mueller report and the findings in it, and we'll see what he can say that will make the Democrats go apoplectic. That should be entertaining. That's when the Daily Perspective continues. This is the Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along. Thanks for listening wherever or whenever you may be listening. I appreciate it. If you're listening Facebook Live, hey, thanks for being there and part of the party. If you're not, if you're listening to the podcast version of this, we recorded this on Thursday morning, the 18th of April, and I'm keeping an eye right now on the news channels to see when Attorney General Barr will step out. Somebody stepped out and gave like a 2-minute warning during the break, so here coming up in just a couple of moments, and hopefully in a moment or so, we'll be going live to Washington, D.C., for those of you on Facebook Live, and we'll just take the news conference and hear what they have to say. And if that means blowing the brakes out, then we'll blow the brakes out and just let it roll, because there's nothing really commercial material in there. I just filled them for the sake of structure, and I built it like a radio show. And I'll be honest with you, that's just to keep me in practice, okay? It's just to keep me in practice. And that's why I do it. So, you know, we could just do an entire hour, but I think it just feels better. It flows better with those breaks in there. So we keep them there. Let's see. Okay, here we go. It looks like it's happening. So let's go to Washington, D.C.
The Attorney General.
And the Attorney General has stepped to the podium, and he is about to speak.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here this morning. As you know, on March 22nd, Special Counsel Robert Mueller concluded his investigation into matters related to Russian attempts to interfere in our 2016 presidential election, and he submitted his confidential report to me pursuant to department regulations. As I said during my Senate confirmation hearing and since, I'm committed to ensuring the greatest degree possible of transparency concerning the special counsel's investigation, consistent with the law. At 11 this morning, I'm going to transmit copies of the public version of the special counsel's report to the chairman and ranking members of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees. The Department of Justice will also make the report available to the American people by posting it on the department's website after it has been delivered to Congress. I'd like to make a few comments today on the report. Before I do that, I want to thank Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein for joining me here today and for his assistance and counsel throughout this process. Rod, as you know, has served at the department for nearly 30 years with dedication and distinction, and it's been a great privilege and pleasure for me to work with him since my confirmation. He had well-deserved plans to step back from public service that were interrupted by my asking him to help in my transition. Rod has been an invaluable partner, and I am grateful that he is willing to help me and has been able to see the special counsel's investigation through to its conclusion. Thanks, Rod.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd also like to thank Special Counsel Robert Mueller for his service and the thoroughness of his investigation, particularly his work exposing the nature of Russia's attempts to interfere in our electoral process. As you know, one of the primary purposes of the Special Counsel's investigation was to determine whether President Trump's campaign or any individual associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government to interfere in the 2016 election. Volume 1 of the Special Counsel's report describes the results of that investigation. As you will see, the Special Counsel's report states that his, quote, investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. I am sure that all Americans share my concern about the efforts of the Russian government to interfere in our presidential election. As the Special Counsel report makes clear, the Russian government sought to interfere in our election process. But thanks to the Special Counsel's thorough investigation, we now know that the Russian operatives who perpetrated these schemes did not have the cooperation of President Trump or the Trump campaign, or the knowing assistance of any other American, for that matter. That is something that all Americans can and should be grateful to have confirmed. The Special Counsel report outlines two main efforts by the Russian government to influence the 2016 election. First, the report details efforts by the Internet Research Agency, a Russian company with close ties to the Russian government, to sow social discord among American voters through disinformation and social media operations. Following a thorough investigation of this disinformation campaign, the Special Counsel brought charges in federal court against several Russian nationals and entities for their respective roles in this scheme. Those charges remain pending, and the individual defendants remain at large. But the Special Counsel found no evidence that any American, including anyone associated with the Trump campaign, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government or the IRA in this illegal scheme. Indeed, as the report states, quote, the investigation did not identify evidence that any U.S. person knowingly or intentionally coordinated with the IRA's interference operation, unquote. Put another way, the Special Counsel found no collusion by any Americans in IRA's illegal activities. Second, the report details efforts by the Russian military officials associated with the GRU, the Russian Military Intelligence Organization, to hack into computers and steal documents and emails from individuals associated with the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's campaign for the purpose of eventually publicizing these documents. Obtaining such unauthorized following a thorough investigation of these hacking operations, the Special Counsel brought charges in federal court against several Russian military officers for their respective roles in these illegal hacking operations. Those charges are still pending, and the defendants remain at large. But again, the special counsel's report did not find any evidence that members of the Trump campaign or anyone associated with the campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these hacking operations. In other words, there was no evidence of the Trump campaign collusion with the Russian government's hacking. The special counsel's investigation also examined Russian efforts to publish stolen emails and documents on the internet. The special counsel found that after the GRU disseminated some of the stolen documents to entities that it controlled, DC Leaks and Guccifer II, the GRU transferred some of the stolen materials to WikiLeaks for publication. WikiLeaks then made a series of document dumps. The special counsel also investigated whether any member or affiliate of the Trump campaign encouraged or otherwise played a role in these dissemination efforts. Under applicable law, publication of these types of material would not be criminal unless the publisher also participated in the underlying hacking conspiracy. Here, too, the special counsel's report did not find that any person associated with the Trump campaign illegally participated in the dissemination of the materials. Finally, the special counsel investigated a number of links or contacts between the Trump campaign officials and individuals connected with the Russian government during the 2016 presidential campaign. After reviewing these contacts, the special counsel did not find any conspiracy to violate U.S. law involving Russian-linked persons and any persons associated with the Trump campaign. So that's the bottom line. After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants, and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts. After finding no underlying collusion with Russia, the special counsel's report goes on to consider whether certain actions of the president could amount to obstruction of the special counsel's investigation. As I addressed in my March 24th letter, the special counsel did not make a traditional prosecutorial judgment regarding this allegation. Instead, the report recounts 10 episodes involving the president and discusses potential legal theories for connecting those activities to the elements of an obstruction offense. After carefully reviewing the facts and legal theories outlined in the report and in consultation with the Office of Legal Counsel and other department lawyers, the Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. Although the Deputy Attorney General and I disagreed with some of the special counsel's legal theories and felt that some of the episodes examined did not amount to obstruction as a matter of law, we did not rely solely on that in making our decision. Instead, we accepted the special counsel's legal framework for purposes of our analysis and evaluated the evidence as presented by the special counsel in reaching our conclusions. In assessing the president's actions discussed in the report, it is important to bear in mind the context. President Trump faced an unprecedented situation. As he entered into office and sought to perform his responsibilities as president, federal agents and prosecutors were scrutinizing his conduct before and after taking office and the conduct of some of his associates. At the same time, there was relentless speculation in the news media about the president's personal culpability. Yet, as he said from the beginning, there was, in fact, no collusion. And as the special counsel's report acknowledges, there is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. Nonetheless, The White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no privilege claims. And at the same time, the president took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of the documents and witnesses necessary to complete his investigation. Apart from whether the acts were obstructive, this evidence of non-corrupt motives weighs heavily against any allegation that the president had a corrupt intent to obstruct the investigation. Now, before I take questions, I want to address a few aspects of the process for producing the public report that I am releasing today. As I said several times, the report contains limited redactions related to four categories of information. To ensure as much transparency as possible, those redactions have been clearly labeled so that the readers can tell which redactions correspond to which categories. Now, to recall, those categories are 6E material, grand jury material, information that the IC believes would disclose sources and methods, information that would impair the investigation and prosecution of other cases that are underway, and finally, information that implicates the privacy and reputational interests of peripheral third parties. As you will see, most of the redactions were compelled by the need to prevent harm to ongoing matters and to comply with court orders prohibiting the public disclosure of information bearing on ongoing investigations and criminal cases, such as the IRA case and the Roger Stone case. These redactions were applied by Department of Justice attorneys working closely together with attorneys from the special counsel's office, as well as the intelligence community, and prosecutors are handling the ongoing cases. The redactions are their work product. No redactions done by anybody outside this group. There were no redactions done by anybody outside this group. No one outside this group proposed any redactions, and no one outside the department has seen the unredacted report, with the exception of certain sections that were made available to IC, the intelligence community, for their advice on protecting intelligence sources and methods. Consistent with longstanding executive branch practice, the decision whether to assert executive privilege over any portion of the report rested with the President of the United States. Because the White House had voluntarily cooperated with the special counsel, significant portions of the report contained material over which the President could have asserted privilege, and he would have been well within his rights to do so. Following my March 29th letter, the Office of the White House Counsel requested the opportunity to review the redacted version of the report in order to advise the President on the potential invocation of privilege, which is consistent with longstanding practice. Following that review, the President confirmed that in the interest of transparency and full disclosure to the American people, he would not assert privilege over the special counsel's report. Accordingly, the public report I am releasing today contains redactions only for the four categories that I previously outlined, and no material has been redacted based on executive privilege. In addition, earlier this week, the President's personal counsel requested and was given the opportunity to read a final version of the redacted report before it was publicly released. That request was consistent with the practice followed under the Ethics in Government Act, which permitted individuals named in a report prepared by an independent counsel the opportunity to read the report before publication. The President's personal lawyers were not permitted to make and did not request any redactions. In addition to making the redacted report public, we are also working with Congress to accommodate their legitimate oversight interests with respect to the special counsel's investigation. We have been consulting with Chairman Graham and Chairman Nadler through this process, and we will continue to do so. Given the limited nature of the redactions, I believe that the publicly released report will allow every American to understand the results of the special counsel's investigation. Nevertheless, in an effort to accommodate congressional requests, we will make available, subject to appropriate safeguards, to a bipartisan group of leaders from several congressional committees, a version of the report with all redactions removed, except those relating to grand jury information. Thus, these members of Congress will be able to see all of the redacted material for themselves, with a limited exception of that which, by law, cannot be shared. I believe that this accommodation, together with my upcoming testimony before the Senate and House Judiciary Committees, will satisfy any need Congress has for information regarding the special counsel's investigation. Once again, I'd like to thank you for being here, and I will now have a few questions.
All right, and we will just sidestep this as far as the questions are concerned and move forward. Now, you have just heard Attorney General Barr explain that the redactions that are in this report, this is something that the left wanted to make hay with. They really, really wanted to be able to blame Trump for the redactions. They wanted to say it was all political. They wanted to say you were being deprived of seeing things you needed to see. And he made it very clear that the only redactions in this report were for a handful of categories, essentially to protect information which was central to ongoing investigations. That's what's redacted in this report. And that's completely and totally, it's completely legitimate. There's no way to argue with that unless you're a professional politician and what you do is lie to people for a living, which is what's going to happen today. So be prepared. This is what will happen today. Also, he made it clear that President Trump waived his ability to redact anything further. He looked it over. He and his people, his counsel, looked it over and said, yep, this is good. We don't have anything further to say. We won't protect. There's nothing else we have to add to the redactions. And he made this statement. This is why this news conference was important. For those two reasons. Now, he spoke for quite some time. He explained a lot. And the two reasons that this news conference was so important, the reason it happened before Congress got their hands on this report, the reason it happened before it became public, is so that the Attorney General of the United States of America could say the redactions were for legal reasons to protect ongoing investigations, and the president didn't redact anything. He has nothing to hide. Those two reasons are why this happened today. And those two reasons are why Jerry Nadler and the Democrats are going insane. Because Attorney General Barr got out in front of them and informed the people about what's happening. That's why this is important. That's why the Democrats are angry. Their ammunition has been taken away from them. And so, from this point forward, everything the Democrats have to say, everything the talking head media has to say, is irrelevant. And anything they say contrary to what was just said in Attorney General Barr's statement is a lie. Everything. So keep remembering that, because you're going to see a lot of spin. The spin machine is already in gear and is spinning up. There are people asking him questions, and I'm not paying attention to the questions because I'm talking to you, but the press is asking him questions. And I don't have a doubt in my mind that some of the questions which will be asked today, if they had not come in with preconceived ideas, preconceived notions, they wouldn't be asked, because they will ask him questions about things he has already covered. And they will try to twist what he has said into something he didn't say. And the talking heads on the news channels will be doing that for the rest of today. They will be twisting Attorney General Barr's words to mean things he clearly did not say, because this is how the left operates. This is how the spin machine, the propaganda monster, operates. The left will take what he has said and interpret it for you. And then, later today, when they get their hands on the report, they will begin spinning even more. And they will begin interpreting even more. And they will dig in and try to find things and interpret things in the report. And then they will start condemning Mueller and Barr with a greater fervor, because they will find things that they can interpret to be evil and as reasons to condemn Trump. And I'll tell you this, if they can't find anything that'll get anybody's attention, then watch what will happen next. What will happen next is they will start talking about his income taxes. They will start talking about his business interests. This is why that the New York aspect of this, that investigation going on in New York City, in New York, why this is happening there, because it's still going on, because they're looking for anything they can find related to his business practices, related to his family members' business practices, related to his income taxes or his family members' income taxes. They're looking for anything they can find to paint him in a bad light. So today is going to be an interesting day. This afternoon should be entertaining, because we'll watch as Jerry Nadler and the rest of the Democrats find something to get in front of the news cameras about again. Or in the next 24 to 48 hours, you'll begin, well, also I would say additionally, in the next 24 to 48 hours, you will find that there are Democrats on the news programs making statements. And you will find that they all are saying the same thing. And in most cases, using exactly the same terms, the same phrases. Because they'll be given their walking orders. They'll be given their talking points by the end of the day. And actually, those talking points have probably already been written. And they will start appearing in front of news cameras, doing interviews with people, you know, doing their responses. You know, we have so-and-so from the Democrat Party here to comment on this particular issue. What did you think of Attorney General Barr's statement this morning? And the next thing you know, they're talking about, what is he hiding? What is he lying about? Why he and Mueller are in collusion. They're working with the president to hide things from the American people. They're going to go insane. It's going to be an entertaining afternoon. So pay attention. Watch as things happen. And if you paid attention here, if you listened throughout his entire statement, you heard what he had to say, you heard why things were redacted, and for valid legal reasons, and there's not much redacted, and you heard the president had nothing to do with any of the redactions, he didn't do anything to change the report, and you also heard that the public will see this as well. Congress gets it later this morning, and the public gets it after Congress gets it. Well, Congress, the Democrats in Congress, are going to go over it with a fine-tooth comb, and they're going to start spinning, and spinning hard today. They're going to look for anything and everything they can to use in this report to mislead and deceive as many people as possible, because they're desperate. They are desperate. They have an election coming up, and they're desperate. Look at who they have running. I mean, look at the clown car that is the Democrat field right now. You've got Bernie Sanders, the crazy socialist. You've got Elizabeth Warren. You've got, wow, Beto O'Rourke. And by the way, Beto's disappearing. Have you noticed that he's getting less and less time because Mayor Pete's on the rise? Oh, I really wanted to spend some time talking about that today. You know, the only reason Mayor Pete's a candidate and being considered, and they're infatuated with him, it's because he's gay. That's why. He's the latest minority figure their run for president. Maybe we can look into that tomorrow on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. That's it for today. God bless you. Bye-bye.